Formidable. I'm Rob Wolf, and this is our show where we take a look back at some of the less heralded Mets in our beloved franchise's history. We like to say that we think every Met is unformidable in their own way. I will say that today's Met might be a bit more formidable, forgettable than some, because this person never made it to play with the New York Mets. It is, of course, MLB draft season next week, starting June 3rd. Future Mets, hopefully future Mets, if they do a good job drafting, will be selected in the MLB amateur draft. Our friends at From Complex to Queens have already filled you in on who they think the Mets should take, who they don't think the Mets should take. I bet they'll probably take someone that we don't think they should take, if past history is any judge. But the MLB draft, draft pick might not be destiny, but it certainly writes a path. I'm watching right now as we speak the reigning best pitcher in the National League, Mr. Jacob DeGrom, matched up against the once and, I guess hopefully for in his case, in his mind, future, probably never again, best pitcher in the National League, but likely future Hall of Famer and longtime reigning best pitcher in the National League, Clayton Kershaw. But for Clayton Kershaw, who was a first-round draft pick, seventh overall pick the year he came out of high school, success almost seemed predetermined. And, I think his path through the minors, it was just expected that he would be what he was. Whereas Jacob DeGrom, of course, was is very well known, was a ninth-round draft pick, shortstop converted to pitcher. And, as is famously known, when he came up, Rafael Montero was the more exciting prospect, and Jacob DeGrom was an afterthought, was a third or fourth starter or a long reliever or a depth piece, and was not someone who anyone thought would be the best pitcher in baseball at any point in time. And a lot of that is just the pedigree as the ninth round pick. And of course, even more famously in Mets history, Mike Piazza, 62nd round draft pick, a round that doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. I mean, how much of a part of the narrative of Mike Piazza is it that he was a 62nd round draft pick as a favor to Tommy Lasorda? I mean, he'd be a Hall of Famer anyway, but it's just part of the legend and part of the story. And, obviously the baseball draft, because there's more misses than in other sports, isn't quite, I don't think, as covered as, football and basketball, where you have the popularity of those college sports. But, for baseball fans, it's exciting, and it's become more and more exciting. And, I think it defines these players more than we think. At any rate, this is just a long-winded introduction to get to our Met of the day. As I said, a Met who never made it to the team. In fact, never made it out of low A Sally Leagues for the New York Mets. That is Ryan Jaroncic, the Mets' 1995 first-round draft pick. Unlike a lot of players who, flame out because of lack of ability or, just failing to make it, Jaroncic was famous for quitting the game after those at the age of 20. He was drafted out of high school, as we'll discuss shortly, and just quit the game very quickly. Made an abortive comeback attempt a few years later in 2000, but his story is pretty interesting. Was covered a few years ago, as I'll mention in Sports Illustrated, and really an interesting, I don't know if cautionary is the right word, but an interesting draft story. Obviously, the Mets are pretty well known for some draft blunders. Steve Chilcott over Reggie Jackson to, oh Lord, we could spend 20 minutes listing them. But, in this case, it's a little different in that, most people still feel like the player was talented, but, walked away before ever had a chance to develop those talents. Usually like to start with a little, player background. Most of the players we've discussed have, had a career before they came to the Mets. So Jaroncic, obviously, going into the draft was, it's not like the Mets went way out on a limb on someone who wasn't expected to be a first-round pick. He was a high school student in California, 18-year-old. Looked more like a top-of-the-order hitter, from what I've read, and just a defensive skill. There was a, I guess, a rookie or a draft baseball card that said he had the best combination of defensive actions, intelligence, and makeup of any infielder in the draft. So Jaroncic was really looked at as like a quintessential shortstop prospect. Other teams were supposedly in on him right around where the Mets were picking. So, it's not like they were taking a wild swing. And this was someone who was expected to go in the first round and did go in the first round, unfortunately, as it would turn out, to the New York Mets. And while it's always fun to look at a draft after the fact and kind of try and say, well, who should we have taken? While some notable major leaguers did go in front of Jaroncic, Darren Erstad went first overall in 1995, solid major league career and always a Rob Wolf fantasy baseball favorite back in the day. Kerry Wood went fourth, Todd Helton went eighth, and most painfully of all, well, they probably wouldn't have taken him anyway, Roy Halladay went one pick before Ryan Jaroncic at 17th overall. But unless the Mets had the foresight to actually go out on a limb and draft the player who went 49th overall, Mr. Carlos Beltran, in the middle of the second round of the draft, most of the names after Jaroncic did not have notable major league careers at all, at least in the first round. A couple other second rounders like Sean Casey. But unless we actually, really went out on a limb there and drafted Carlos Beltran and gave Met fans a reason to irrationally and for no reason hate Carlos Beltran years before they actually did, then I see no reason with hindsight to quibble with the pick, which, believe me, if I have a chance to quibble with something the Mets did, I will. In fact, so his senior year of high school in California, Jaroncic only had 3 homers and 90 at bats, but 24 stolen bases, .544 slugging percentage, 12 walks against 3 strikeouts. It's a lot better than I did in high school. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know high school stats, but sounds good. And obviously, the scout community was in love with him, as were the New York Mets. So they pegged him with the 18th pick of the draft, and Ryan Jaroncic, at the age of 18, was off to the rookie league with the Mets in 1995.
What's up, baseball fans? There's nothing better than being there. The stadium, the snacks, that loud crack of the bat on the ball. But sometimes getting those tickets feels like a real struggle. I mean, are ticketing websites making it this hard on purpose? Imagine what it would be like if those sites actually cared about getting you that perfect seat. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek does just that. The app pulls together tickets from all over the web, rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10, and then shows you the view from your seat. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you're not going to show up and then not see the game. With over 50,000 five-star reviews, the SeatGeek app is by far the fastest and easiest way to find tickets. Go give it a shot today, and SeatGeek will give you $10 off your first purchase when you use promo code SBNation. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code SBNation for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code SBNation.
Beyonce, Ariana Grande, and Drake are talked about ad nauseum as celebrities, but there's one thing that's rarely discussed, their music.
On Switched on Pop, we go deep into the sounds of pop music to explain what it means, how it's made, and why it's so effective.
We talk with some of today's greatest artists, producers, and journalists to decode the musical logic behind our modern soundtrack and understand its role in our culture.
Switched on Pop will reveal for you how a secretive Swedish producer is behind many of the top 10 hits of the past 20 years.
And we'll uncover the ways that songwriters embed their political activism into today's most popular tracks.
we'll show you the surprising musical similarities between Cardi B and Taylor Swift.
And we'll even dive into the classical past to hear how the Jonas Brothers mirror Mozart's youthful party days.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
Join us on a journey through the world of popular music by subscribing to Switched on Pop on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app to get new episodes every Tuesday.
Jaroncic did struggle in the minors. He made his debut at age 18, as I said, in the rookie league and at Pittsfield and at the Gulf Coast League Mets in rookie and low A ball. And at the age of 19, went to the Appy to play in Kingsport, where, you know, again, he really, you know, struggled to find his groove. You know, 647 OPS in Kingsport. But, you know, as a first-round pick, probably, you know, no one's going to give up on you yet in any way, shape, or form. So 1997, he opened the year in Capital City. I hope you meant the Capital City Goofball. I did not know the Mets ever had a team there. But with the Capital City Bombers in the South Atlantic League. Wish that was still our minor league affiliate. So again, he started the year there in 1997 and was struggling, 100 at-bats, 101 plate appearances, 174 batting average. But the reason for that was apparently not just struggles, was because Ryan Jaroncic did not want to play baseball and apparently pretty much never wanted to play baseball. So on May 8th of 1997, less than 2 years after being drafted, 18th overall, number one draft pick, 18th overall in the nation by the New York Mets. Ryan Jaroncic delivered to Mets general manager Joe McElvain, haven't heard that name in a while, a letter notifying them that he was quitting the game of baseball for good. A young and relatively unknown at the time, well, unknown to me, I don't know, young Met beat reporter named Buster Olney covered this extensively for the New York Times in 1997, when he worked the Mets beat. So at the age of 20, Ryan Jaroncic walked away from baseball. Ostensibly, you know, he began playing ball at the age of five, you know, basically at the whims of his father, Bill, who was a defensive back for USC and a Navy pilot. And, you know, it sounds like kind of like a more of a tennis story, like one of those, you know, sport parents that just badger you into playing. Jaroncic was kind of forced into baseball and to a lesser extent soccer as a child. And even though he excelled, never really enjoyed playing the game. He tried to transition to football as a teenager, but got hurt. And his father, you know, was leery of him damaging his baseball career and instructed him to quit and stick to baseball. But on that May day in 1997, Jaroncic, hitting 174 in Capital City, told Joe McElvain he was quitting, walked out, threw his glove and his bats in the dumpster, and moved on and away from baseball. He believed at the time permanently. He did make a brief and abortive comeback attempt in the Dodger organization a couple of years later, moving from coming to the Dodgers in 1999 and playing in 99 and 2000 in their minor league organization before once again hating baseball enough to quit, I guess. So, you know, as far as Jaroncic's, well, his post baseball life, I think it's, well, first I want to talk a little about his it's pre-life. Yeah, what I find really interesting is when they interviewed the scout who drafted him, or who was really in on him, Jim Woodward. You know, there's all this talk about, you know, oh, he was a religious Christian and a bright Stanford-bound kid, all suggested a strong bearing. So, you know, just all of that, like, I don't know, white nonsense. I just feel like it's just interesting how that colors the perception and, you know, that no one could believe that this kid would lie about wanting to have a career in baseball, that he was an upright Christian and, you know, I looked him in the eye and he said he wanted to play baseball and give up his career and, you know, give up his education and pursue baseball with the Mets. And people even cite, you know, kind of that that religious upbringing is part of the reason that not only did he not like baseball, but he hated the lifestyle around it. That he didn't like how the players went out and partied. You know, he actually got married at 18 and didn't enjoy going out or didn't enjoy the lifestyle associated with being a minor leaguer, or obviously implied the lifestyle that it would be as a major leaguer. So the lesson, as always, don't trust religious people. That's the lesson I took out of this. You don't have to take the same lesson I did. So anyways, Jaroncic turned 40 a couple of years ago. He lives in Ohio and is still a devout Christian who publishes extensively online about creationism. He wrote a children's book on it. I'm not even going to give the name because that's just... I won't promote such nonsense on my podcast. But in fact, we actually looked into Brian had asked about if we could have him on the podcast and interview him, which apparently he turned down. And now I'm kind of relieved because I don't think the interview would have went well once I learned all of this stuff about him. But anyway, if you you could look up. As I said, Buster Olney wrote an article about him quitting baseball live when it happened in 1997 for The Times. And then a couple of years ago in Sports Illustrated, Jack Dickey looked back at him, because it was 20 years after he quit the game. Although that article, I think it was a lot to Olney's article. But they're both two very interesting studies of this event. If you either remember him being drafted or being, remember him walking away from baseball, I think they're both interesting reads. If you actually read, if you prefer reading to podcasting, which I do actually, but hopefully those of you listening do not. In any event, they're interesting reads on Jaroncic and that era and the phenomenon of the MLB draft. So whoever the Mets take with the 12th, I believe, pick in the 2019 MLB draft, hopefully they'll be so good they'll never be a candidate for unformidable. They'll be having their number raised to the Citi Field rafters before I die. That would probably be before I die. I don't know. Might not be, actually. That's sad. Whoever they draft, hopefully they're in the organization longer than Ryan Jaroncic, who unfortunately walked away from the game. Not unfortunately. I mean, it was his choice and his right, to not play a game he didn't want to be involved in. But hopefully the misfortune of selecting that player doesn't fall to the Mets this year. Or ever again, really. Anyway, thank you as always for listening to Unformidable. Please follow Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please subscribe to the podcast and all of our Amazing Avenue audio podcasts. And please leave reviews where you subscribe. They're quite helpful. Original music on the podcast is by Bunga. You can follow me on Twitter at WolfRR, WOLFFRR, and the show at Unformidable. Thank you for listening, as I said, and as always, let's go Mets.